We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, back at Llewellyn's in Soulard, it is Sports Open Line. Chris Raby hanging until 9 o'clock. Mike Anderson back at our KMOX studios. Ryan Schulte to my left. We are right in the middle of Soulard, 9th and Soulard. Come out and see us until 9 o'clock tonight. Some great, great specials here at Llewellyn's. Not just their fantastic happy hour, that is every day, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, dollar off drafts, domestics, premium rail, and house wines. $2 mystery shots, that's Mike Anderson's thing. $4 Cardinals bombs for all games, that's Ryan Schulte's thing. All you can eat wings on a Monday from 5 to 10 for just $8. $7 burger night on Tuesday. I came here last Tuesday with J.J. Bailey after we hung out on KMOX and had $7 burgers. Aside for $7, can't beat that. Free pint with a traditional entree on Wednesdays, that's tonight, and $10 steak night on Thursday. So, again, so many specials, plus the trolley that will take you to and from the Cardinals games, the Blues games, concerts at Scott Trade Center. Always something going on here at Llewellyn's, and you can follow them on social media as well. Llewellyns Pub. See that? Getting good at that, Ryan Schulte. All right, so hanging here until 9. J.J. Bailey going to be along in the 8 o'clock hour to talk some Cardinals live with us, but we'll do that in this hour as well. Coming up next segment, our buddy Mark Mulder, former Cardinal, longtime big league vet, and now basically a celebrity pro golfer. He'll join me to talk a little golf and also a little Cardinals, and then Bill DeWitt Jr., Cardinals chairman, coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then again, J.J. Bailey at 8 o'clock. Chris Raby with you. We are at Llewellyn's in Soulard. Come on out and see us. Hanging out until 9 o'clock, and we're back after this with Mark Mulder on your home for the Cardinals and Blues, KMOX.
For the championship!
The Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
Little Dipsy Doo, Jamaroo!
On KMOX.
Great to have Mark Mulder on the program, former big leaguer, former Cardinal, and now tearing up the golf tour. He joins us on Sports Open Line. Mark, what's going on, man? How are you?
Not a whole lot, man. How are you?
We're doing well. You know, I was really pumping it for you when you joined us in January. We were telling Marty Fish we were going to beat him like a drum at the Diamond Resorts tournament. It was a great tournament. I heard Jeremy Roenick talking about it the other day, and what a fun weekend that was. I know you guys have an exciting announcement. Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions is going to kick off the LPGA season in 2019. What was the experience like? And I know you're gearing up for Tahoe now. So how's the game? What's going on?
The game's a little suspect at the moment. I'm on a little 2-month run here where it's been a little bit of a struggle. And since I have taken one golf lesson in my life, I don't know how to fix it. So I just kind of, the 30 balls I hit before I play, I try something new, and if it sticks, I go with it, you know? And that's kind of the extent of the work that I put in on my game. But, you know, there's a reason amateurs struggle with this game, and the game goes up and down, and I'm totally cool with it. And as long as it's on the up by the time we get back to the Tahoe tournament in July, I'll be fine.
Hey, but that's working for Bubba Watson, right? He's like one of the hottest players on the planet right now, and he doesn't take lessons.
No, that's exactly right. No, that's why I don't believe it. I can watch. I play with enough tour guys, and I'm around them enough that I feel like I can just watch them and watch what they do, and then I go try and repeat it on the range and see if it works.
Isn't it incredible? Like,
you watch some of those guys, and you are a great, 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 great player, but even look at guys that are trying to Monday qualify or trying to play on the mini tours. It's just, it looks like a different sport, doesn't it, at that level?
It really does. And that's the thing. I know a lot of these guys who can, I know a lot of these guys out here in Arizona who can shoot 64 on any given day, yet they have no status on not a single tour. They can't win on any tours.
And they can't make money.
They can't compete. First of all, you're right. They don't have any money for it. But the reason the majority, it's all between the ears, man.
Wow.
You know, they can't handle the pressure. They can't handle the moment. They can't, whatever it is, they just don't have it between the ears. But if they're out playing a little Friday afternoon game, they sure do have it then.
Hey, how did that translate to baseball? And how does that translate to baseball? Because similar to golf, and I guess baseball would maybe be the closest thing when you look at the volume of players that are in the minor leagues compared to the volume of players that play professionally on tours around the world that are not the PGA Tour and that is not Major League Baseball. I mean, I know sometimes it comes down to opportunity, but you know, you saw a lot of guys probably with similar skill sets. Is that between the ears thing? Does that count for baseball in the big leagues as well?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I think, you know, I've said this to people before. Throwing a, and this is just talking about pitching, but throwing a pitch and hitting a golf ball are about as similar as they get because it's the only things in sports besides shooting a free throw. Those three things, nothing can happen until you do it.
Yeah.
You know, everything else is a reaction. You know, a quarterback seeing somebody open, you just react to it. You know, passing the puck and or whatever, you react to it. You know, they're the only things where you can really outthink yourself, and you have to be so mentally strong, or kind of like a closer, have such a short memory and be able to just move on from something bad, or you know. And I think that's what helps. I know that's what helps me in golf. You know, if I hit a bad shot, it's done with. Let's go find the ball and let's go hit it again. You know, and I think I always took that approach pitching. You know, you give up that homer, which I gave up plenty. You throw that pitch, that ball's hit. What's the point of pouting about it or getting angry about it? The ball's in the stands. It's not coming back. You're not going to get a do-over. You can't. There's no gimmies. So let's worry about the next pitch you got to make and go from there because it's done with. Move on.
Mark Mulder with us on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Pretty exciting, man. The Diamond Resorts Tournament's going to kick off the LPGA season in 2019. There are some incredible players with some game on the LPGA Tour right now.
Yeah, it's cool. Whether it's I played with Lexi Thompson 2 years ago. I played with Brooke Henderson this past year in the tournament. Brittany Lincecum I know a little bit. And now this year, Michelle Wee's going to be in it with her win a couple weeks ago. It's cool because it's now a legit tournament. You know, the last couple of years we did it with the Champions Tour, Diamond Resorts did, and it was just more of a, I mean, it was still a legit tournament, but it didn't count towards their season long events. And now you think, you know, guys, people who watch the PGA Tour, this is going to be very similar to Kapalua. It's going to be all the winners from the previous season who qualify for this tournament. They're unfortunately going to be paired with a bunch of us celebs that hack it around and try to act like we're good golfers. But bottom line is it's going to be really cool. It's going to be 4 days instead of three, which is what Diamond Resort's done the last couple of years. So it'll be 72 holes over the 4 days. And, you know, Golf Channel on Thursday and Friday and NBC on Saturday and Sunday. So I'm looking forward to it.
Let me ask you one more golf question, then we'll talk a little bit of baseball because you obviously stood on a mound countless times in massive situations and had 40,000 people going nuts. What do you make of some of the comments from Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy and other guys about crowds at golf tournaments getting a little out of hand? I know you're out in the Scottsdale area. I was out at the Waste Management this year. It was incredible, but you know, there's been a little bit of backlash to some of the rowdiness and some of the party atmosphere. As a former ball player, but now a guy who plays in these big time events, what do you make of some of what we've heard from some of the guys in the PGA Tour?
Well, I've always just been the one who has thought, you know what, for the players, for the athlete, just keep your mouth shut about it. You know, if you know, I saw what the Justin Thomas one, that looked bad. I mean, the guy's like, what he said, get in the bunker or something.
A couple of times.
You know, I think it's very easy to differentiate between someone who's really saying things that are awful and someone who's just getting on you because maybe they don't like you. You know, golfers, they don't have a home stadium. They don't have they're just constantly moving around. So when you go to an away stadium as compared to a home stadium, it's completely different. You know, I can't say half the things that were said to me when I was warming up in the bullpen before games. You know, and it wasn't adults. There were kids saying certain things that I have stories that were said to me. So, you know, you got to have some thick skin as an athlete. And, you know, golfers, I think, have always been accused of maybe not having that. But I think it's different. If you're on that tee box and someone's talking about, I don't know, let's just say maybe family members or something, that's totally different. But if someone's just cheering for your ball to go in the bunker, I mean, who cares? You know, get over it. Go find your ball in the bunker and go hit it again. You know, I mean, it's just, and the other thing is, by now him saying that and it being talked about, it's now going to make people do it more to him. I mean, that's the reality. If they know that stuff gets to you, you're not going to stop college kids or young adults who are out there drinking in a golf tournament from trying to annoy you or say things that you don't like. I mean, it's the same way at every other sporting event. This just happens to be golf.
Yeah, Mark Mulder, our guest on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Baseball season finally here. We're geared up for the Cardinals. I want to ask you about Adam Wainwright, Mark, because obviously you know Waino and we're teammates with Waino, and he's dealt with some injuries the last couple of years. In the final year of his contract, he tried to kind of change his body a bit, came into camp 25 pounds lighter than he has in quite some time and had a really, really good spring training, but unfortunately is dealing with a bit of a hamstring injury right now. But for a guy kind of at the crossroads where he is, especially spending his whole professional career in the big leagues with the Cardinals, last year of his deal, kind of a lot of people writing him off. What kind of challenge is that? And then, you know, knowing him the way that you do, what do you expect from a guy like Waino with as much that is on the line as there is this year?
Well, I'd never be the one who'd want to bet against him. You know, he's such a determined individual. You talk about a strong-minded person. He's a good example of it. So right there, I'd never go the other way on him. And it's funny, I didn't know about 4 or 5 days ago that he had the hamstring issue, and he texted me out of nowhere a little golf. We were talking golf on a little text for a little bit, and I didn't realize that was going on. Otherwise, I would have thrown some old man jokes at him. But, you know, I think anybody who – the reality is in baseball – everybody gets older, and he's been healthy a lot in his career. I get it. He had Tommy John and he missed some time, but he's also thrown a lot of innings for the St. Louis Cardinals. And I think over time, there's a progression, and you see guys no more in this game. Do you see guys get better from age 34 on as you used to? So the reality is when guys start to get older, their stuff isn't going to be as good. Their mind is the same. Their knowledge gets better. And I think for Wainwright, that's the biggest key. He's way smarter of a pitcher now than he was when he was when he was 25, 30 years old. So that knowledge is what helps you get past maybe the stuff not quite being the same. But I know his work ethic. I know the way he works. He's going to get back, and I think he's going to have a good year for the Cardinals. Is he going to sit there? I know he's going to miss a little bit of time, but is he going to go out and dominate? No, he might not dominate, but you know what? He's going to give everything he has, and he's going to put up some good starts, and he's going to win some ball games, and because he's a fighter, and that's the way he goes about it, and those are the people you want in your rotation.
It's crazy, isn't it, to watch games now and think even to 5 or 10 years ago, and even the Cardinals have a handful of guys from within the organization who have come up, you know, from fans' point of view, almost out of nowhere, seems like they all throw 98 or 100. And,
everybody.
You know, I was doing a game down in spring training, and it was, you know, Miles Michaelis, the starter, was 98. The next guy, Mike Myers, was 100. Bud Norris was 96. It's like, it's crazy, man. And I don't think it's because the guns are juiced. It's just guys are throwing really, 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 really hard. And they're coming for your jobs sometimes. It's odd, and it seems like that's one of the biggest ways that the game and pitching within the game has changed.
Well, but it's also, to be fair, and I'm not trying to sound like the old retired guy, but the reality is that's also what scares me about the game. You know, you see injuries, you see what's happening to so many young players. They're coming, they're getting to the big leagues with so many more innings under their belt because a lot of these kids have played year-round. It's one thing if you want to throw year-round. That is fine. You want to, but when you're pitching and you're pitching in game situations year-round, that is a whole nother level. There's a reason I could go out for the first inning when I was healthy. The first pitch of my warm-up pitches, if the gun was on, would be 84, 86.
Hmm.
First pitch of the game is 92. And I would still try to throw those warm-up pitches just as hard as the first pitch of the game. That adrenaline is what does it because it means something. You know, and the last couple of years doing TV stuff, watching these games, I would get so frustrated talking about it because I felt like all of these young kids come up, man, and they're just out there throwing. None of them have any idea how to pitch. They all throw 95 to 100,
yet
so many of them were scared of their fastballs. And they wanted to just throw breaking ball after breaking ball. And you know why? Because strikeouts get you paid. And they've all come up in a generation where you better strike everybody out.
Yeah.
You better throw 95 to 100 or you're not going to get that huge contract. Because you're not a prospect if you don't throw over 96 now. You know, and that's to me is what worries me about pitching, especially starting pitching. Because, man, every year I've seen that stat where every year there's less and less guys who reach 200 innings. I think there were only 13 guys last year I saw. You know, in a couple years, man, there's going to be
none.
There's not going to be any.
Well, you know,
it's going to be a team of bullpens who throw 100.
And it's kind of funny that one guy who did last year is Carlos Martinez on the Cardinals, who has talked about the fact that he has tried to, while he can still ramp it up, one thing that I've talked to him and Waino about is, you know, as a young pitcher, if you're 0-2, sometimes all of a sudden you're picking and, you know, it can get to 3-2 and you're getting deeper into counts. And Carlos, I think, was able to, you know, even with some inconsistencies, become a little bit more efficient, and that let him get to that 200 inning mark last year, which is crazy.
Yeah, you just don't see it anymore because everybody throws 105 pitches in 5 1/3, it seems like. You know, there's no such thing as nobody wants to – there is no pitching to contact anymore. You know, not only do guys have incredible stuff, but they don't – everything, they want everything on the corners. There's no let's just sink the ball, get a ground ball. There's no five-pitch innings, it seems, that much anymore. And that's where the game is changing.
Mark Mulder, always great to have him talk a little baseball. And again, he's going to be at the American Century Championship this summer in Tahoe, trying to win his fourth straight title. That's right. You beat Steph Curry like a drum there. You heard it here first. Mark Mulder, better athlete than Steph Curry. And then he'll be at the Diamond Resorts Tournament to kick off the LPGA season in 2019. Hey, man, always enjoyed talking a little golf and a little baseball with you, and appreciate you coming on with us in St. Louis.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mark Mulder, quick break, and then we're back with more from Llewellyn's. Cardinals Chairman Bill DeWitt Jr. joins me in our next segment. J.J. Bailey from KMOV Live in the 8 o'clock hour, as we'll talk all things Cardinals. Take your questions as well. Don't forget about all the specials at Llewellyn's in Soulard, including the trolley that runs for all Cardinals, Blues, and also most concerts at Scott Trade Center. Opening day, a pre-party with Bud Light specials, free trolley to and from the game, a raffle for tickets, and a DJ after party with no cover. So quick break, and then we're back with more from Llewellyn's in Soulard. Chris Raby with you, Ryan Schulte. To my left, Mike Anderson, back at our KMOX Studios. It's the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
The Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
KMOX is like the birthplace of sports broadcasting.
On KMOX.
Live at Llewellyn's in Soulard until 9 o'clock, it is Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you. J.J. Bailey coming up in our next hour. Lots of Cardinals to talk about, especially after the roster move yesterday with Jordan Hicks making the opening day roster. We'll do that coming up. Still time to come see us at Llewellyn's. Give you all the specials and a rundown again in a moment. But we check in now as the season starts tomorrow. It's opening day eve with Cardinals chairman Bill DeWitt Jr. ready to get it going again.
Early by one game 2 years ago, and last year by several games, but we were in it right to the end. So, you know, we're where we need to be. Hopefully we'll have another winning season, make it 11 straight, and get into the playoffs and do some damage once we get there. But I think it's going to be an exciting year. Hopefully our guys will stay healthy. Some of the young guys come through for us, and, you know, we could have a great season.
I'm wondering, from your vantage point, what high expectations do. And as you just said, the winning seasons, Mike Matheny, I believe, is second right now, winning percentage active managers. He's in the top 20 winning percentage for managers all time who have managed five or more years. But do you understand some of the, I don't want to say unrest, but fans getting antsy when they're used to winning? And frankly, it's probably just disappointment that you were in the playoff race the last 2 years. 2 years ago, it was the final day of the season, that Sunday. You had a chance. This year, you were, you know, at the top of the division the last couple of weeks. Do you understand, or does it strike you as, I guess, odd that fans get so antsy with your track record?
Well, I think they should get antsy. We all want the same thing, and that's to win every year and to be in the postseason and, you know, get to the World Series. That's what we want. And it's great the fans want it, too. And the expectations should be high. They are high. We've had good teams for a number of years, and hopefully we can continue to have good teams. So, you know, it's I've talked to fans who have trouble watching the ninth inning. I mean, I think it's stressful for me, but it's stressful for fans. And, you know, it's a good thing because we've got a great fan base. They really care, and, you know, we're going to draw over $3 million again, and it's just terrific.
Let's talk about your manager. I just rattled off some of the numbers, what he has done at the control of that clubhouse and of this team is pretty remarkable. And again, with great success comes great expectation. How have you seen Mike as a manager grow since that 2012 season with everything that you guys have accomplished together, Bill?
Well, he came in never having managed. Of course, he played a demanding position as catcher. Was a Gold Glove catcher, highly regarded as a pitch caller and manager of staffs, and so he had the knowledge base certainly to be a good manager. But it's not easy when you step into the major league locker room and become a manager, not really having coached for that matter. He'd done some work for us in the minor leagues, but he acclimated pretty quickly, and we got off running that year and. You know, did pretty darn well, and the tracker record's been good ever since. I do think this year we've beefed up our coaching staff, not to say we didn't have a good one before, but we missed Jose Oquendo. He's such an asset to the club. Getting Willie McGee full-time, he used to come down to spring training, but, you know, that would be for a couple of weeks or something. And now to have him here every day, that's a great asset for the organization. We think of Willie as such a great player and personality and popular player, but he's so knowledgeable on the baseball front. You know, the outfielders and all the players, the culture he brings to the clubhouse is really without equal. So those are two really important Cardinal additions. Mike Maddox has had a great career as a pitching coach. Obviously comes from a decorated pitching family. His brother, Hall of Famer. Mike had a nice career himself. And you know, I think our staff's pretty hard to beat at this point.
Mike said that one of the reasons, Mike Maddox, we've got too many Mikes around now, your general manager, your manager, your pitching coach. He said that one of the reasons that he wanted to come here was because of his admiration for you, for this franchise, that he's always admired the Cardinals and thought about being a part of this organization. When you hear not just a player, but someone like Mike Maddox, who has had opportunities to manage at the big league level, has had success at the highest level, has worked with some of the game's best pitchers, is part of the family that he is. When he says something like that, what do you think about?
It's impressive. Coaches and players like coming to the Cardinals, just because we've, you know, got a great franchise with a terrific fan base, we draw well. We've had a history of success for a long, long time, close to 100 years. And, you know, people respect that. We respect it ourselves and try to maintain and uphold that tradition of winning and success and, you know, doing what's right for the fans and having the best facilities. So to have someone like Mike Maddux come in, and by the way, we do separate the Mikes by nicknames. Mike Gersh is always just Gersh. Mike Maddux is Mad Dog. So you don't hear too many Mikes called out. Mike Matheny, Waka's Michael. So we do have some distinguishing nicknames along the way.
I don't ask this to diminish anyone else, but who gets the bigger ovation opening day, Jose Oquendo or Willie McGee? Are they equal? Is that 1A, 1B? Those have got to be the two loudest, right?
I certainly think so. Willie McGee, I think, you know, I don't know how you beat him on an ovation, because whenever he's been on the field, the ovation he gets is pretty much without equal. But Jose Oquendo is so admired by the fan base. It's going to be a tough call there. Also, I think you're going to see a pretty rousing welcome for Marcelo Ozuna. Fans are smart. They know what kind of talent he is and what he brings, not only on the field and in the lineup as probably the cleanup hitter, but his personality is really engaging, and the fans are going to love him too.
We'll circle back to your club in a moment, but talking about your manager and the coaching staff, but the manager especially, is baseball the one sport where there is as much second-guessing afterwards as there is reacting to what's going on in the moment? In other sports, I guess maybe football with a play call here or there, but it seems like even though it's players executing or not executing or having someone execute better than them, so often maybe it's just the day-to-day rhythm of the season. We focus, for better or for worse, on decisions sometimes, and it seems almost to overshadow what happens on the field. And Mike, at least from my vantage point, and I've told him this, seems to fall on the side of some unfair criticism or second guessing, which is exactly what it is, second guessing. And you don't necessarily hear it when it works.
Well, that's true. And I think most fans think along with the manager and think in their mind, what would I do in this situation? I do it myself. You know, it's part of the...
But you're the boss.
Well, it's part of the enjoyment of the game.
Right.
I mean, baseball is such a strategic game. There's so many decisions that are made. Should a player take an extra base? You know, should you walk someone? Should you bunt? You know, should you pull the pitcher? Should you hit for the pitcher? You don't see that in other sports too much. You do see, as you said, in football, some play calls. But you don't really question why some player's playing versus another. They pretty much have their set lineups. And there aren't those kinds of decisions in the game itself of, you know, why did a quarterback throw it at a certain receiver? You don't hear that much. Here it's, gee, why did the guy try to go from first to third and he got thrown out? Why didn't he tag up and score on that fly ball? A lot of it is second-guessing, because those who don't think ahead and just watch the game, you know, they look back and say, well, if he'd done it another way. The thing about it is, the odds are so close together on so many decisions that there are, you know, you could go one way or the other and not be right or not be wrong. And, you know, sometimes I think something should happen and maybe something else does, and it may turn out better. It's just, you know, you're playing odds, and the odds in most cases are very close.
Chris Raby and Cardinals chairman Bill DeWitt, let's talk about your club and about your lineup. A lot of the projections that I follow, and I know that your front office and you follow, third party per se, like your lineup is one of the best in all of baseball. Just the addition of Marcelo Ozuna and accomplishing that on the heels of an acquisition with that club that didn't work out in Giancarlo Stanton, what did that do immediately, do you think, not just for the lineup, but kind of to kickstart the offseason, Bill?
Well, if you look at our lineup last year, we got really incredible production out of Tommy Pham, just looking at the outfield. Dexter Fowler was productive, but he was injured quite a bit, didn't play as many games or have the at-bats that he generally has in a season. I mean, he's generally played a big part of a season. And the third outfield position wasn't very productive for a variety of reasons. Stephen Piscotty had some difficulties that we all know about. He's a good player, and he's going to be a good player for Oakland. And we had some inconsistency. So if you replace that inconsistency with what Ozuna did last year, I mean, that's dramatic differential. And if everybody just did what they did last year and you add Ozuna in there versus what was there, that's a marked upgrade. But I think players that we had can do better, too. So I really like our offense. And defensively, it's an upgrade. Marcell Ozuna's a gold glover out there in left field. I think Tommy will be do a really good job in center. And Dexter Fowler, former center fielder and can obviously play center, should be a plus right fielder. So I like the outfield offensively and defensively. And the rest of the club's solid. You can go around every position. How can you really upgrade a whole lot thinking about it? DeJong was terrific, and, others as well. We got Yachty back, so I feel great about it.
With the pursuits that you guys have made, and you can mention Stanton, largest contract in the history of professional sports, the deals you have made, whether it be acquiring Ozuna, what you've done in the free agent market over the last few years, bringing guys in like Cecil and Fowler and Mike Leake, extending your own guys. We had Paul DeJong here at spring training get an extension. You could rattle off the list of guys that you've committed money to. Does it surprise you that there is a perception, not just for your club, but around baseball, that teams aren't spending money or teams are called cheap? You can look at the payroll receipts. You can look at some of the pursuits you guys have made. I'm always, and I'm not just saying this because I'm sitting next to you, I'm flabbergasted when people say that.
It is a little bit surprising. I think fans and others feel like payroll should be going up every single year, and it has. Major League payroll this coming year will be higher than it was the prior year. But some of the dramatic escalation that's taken place in the past, which has been driven by free agents, I think is slowed down because teams realize that young players have made such an impact the last few years. And as you get into a long-term deal with an older player, you're not really sure how it's going to play out as time goes on. So I think it's just a little bit of a recalibration with teams. Front offices have changed, and they do a lot of analysis. And, you know, we've always done a lot of analysis, and I just think having said it all, you're going to see increased payrolls in Major League Baseball this year versus last.
What excites you about exactly what you said when you were sitting up there with Paul when you extended his contract, your commitment to drafting, developing, bringing guys up through the organization, your commitment to the performance side? You brought in Dr. Robert Butler. You guys have tweaked some things based on information that you've received. What excites you about what you're doing internally that fans don't get to see day to day, Bill?
Well, we've really built an increased infrastructure in the baseball operation with the additions you've talked about. And we are committed to drafting, signing internationally, developing, and playing the best players that we can and extending those that we feel are core assets over a long period of time. And it's worked out well. I think it was ESPN that does the future power rankings that came out recently. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were number fourth and out of 30 teams, and some usual suspects ahead of us like the Yankees and Dodgers.
Cubs weren't.
No, we snuck in there ahead of the Cubs. And Houston, of course, which they've done a great job in building their franchise. They went through some tough years to get there, but it's paying off now. Fortunately, we haven't had to go through those tough years, and we've continued to try to have winning seasons and competitive playoff-type teams while still maintaining our future. We never want to give up on our future, and I think, you know, that's a third-party analysis, but we feel that same way internally.
All right, finally, as we talk about not just the past and the present, but the future. I know a lot of folks over the last couple of weeks back in St. Louis have been enjoying Ballpark Village with Arch Madness and the SEC tournament. Another phase of that is underway, I know, because I got to look around for another parking spot. What's going on? Give us an update. It's so exciting to see, not just for the club, but I'm someone who lives in downtown St. Louis. For downtown St. Louis, what you have already done, what the club is continuing to do, give us an update about what's going on and how things are going to continue to maybe look a little bit different over the course of this year and then moving forward.
Well, as you know, living downtown, we've got a lot of construction going on. We've got a hotel that'll be under construction. We've got an office building. We've got some more entertainment venues. We've got an apartment building. It's a dramatic increase in activity for downtown, and we're excited about it because we're believers in downtown. We think it's great for the community, great for the area. And I will say, whenever I'm in any downtown, whether it's Jupiter, Florida, or Palm Beach, Florida, or any other city, I think, you know, what are they doing that we could do downtown? I don't think Ballpark Village is the end of our reach, and I hope we continue to improve downtown. I think with the Arch Grounds coming on and all that the community has done, downtown St. Louis has a bright future.
It's been so great to see with Tom Stillman and his group as well, the Cardinals and the Blues and the events outside of baseball and hockey that you two have worked together to bring into the city. I know they said these last 2 weeks, the sports commission said that with the two basketball tournaments, 25,000 visitors and a $20 million impact. That's incredible. And it's honestly because of the two facilities.
Yeah, no, it's huge. It's great. And, you know, there's an aquarium that's on the way, some more entertainment space in the old train station. And I think downtown has a really bright future, and we're excited to be part of it.
Thank you to Bill DeWitt Jr., and cannot wait for Cardinals baseball to start tomorrow. Home opener week from Thursday. You can come hang out at Llewellyn's. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. We're at Llewellyn's in Soulard until 9 o'clock. J.J. Bailey joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. Back to wrap up this hour and get set for Cardinals Talk with J.J. next on KMOX.
Tomorrow, it's the 2018 season opener for your St. Louis Cardinals as they face the Mets in New York. Pre-game coverage 11:15. John Rooney and Ricky Horton have the first pitch at 12:10. And you can hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
All right, wrapping up the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Open Line, live at Llewellyn's in Soulard. Chris Raby with you. Don't forget about Llewellyn's trolley service to and from all Cardinals games. The opening day pre-party with Bud Light specials. Free trolley to and from the game, a raffle for Cardinals tickets, a DJ, and an after party with no cover. That's coming up a week from tomorrow. The Cardinals home opener specials as well every day. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 3 to 6. Come on in and grab a drink, grab something to eat. Always a great time at any of the St. Louis area Llewellyn's locations. We love being here. And again, like my favorite place to come before and after Cardinals games, because you can hop on that trolley and they will take you right to Busch Stadium. All right, coming up, I'm going to visit with J.J. Bailey. KMOV's Cardinals man is in the house. A lot to talk about because even though the Cardinals headed to Montreal and you thought you had a handle on what the roster would be, a couple of moves as Jordan Hicks has added, a couple of guys DFA'd today. A lot to get to with J.J. Bailey of KMOV coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. The Dave Sinclair Lincoln Ford Sports Open Line, live from Llewellyn's in Soulard. Back after this. Baseball tomorrow, you hear it on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.